John 12, beginning of verse 44. Our message this morning, Christ is the only way. This is chapter 12 ends with Christ's public ministry. He has provided signs and wonders, miracles of healing, miracles of resurrection. He has been preaching the truth. He has been shining the light of who He is. And now, as this chapter closes, He begins the transition to the personal ministry toward His disciples and toward you and I, His chosen. John 12, 44, then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Father, as we look into your word together, we pray that you might help us see the importance, the vital, urgent need of salvation for all who are lost. This is what the gospel is about, and this is why we worship you. You have saved us. You have called us to be yours. And we turn to the world to share this gospel with them. Help us to see that your truth is the only truth that saves. Help us to see, and graciously, by the power of the Holy Spirit, share with others the fact that there is only one absolute truth, and we find it in Christ Jesus and His Word. While it may be offensive to the world, it is the only truth that will save. Help us to see this. We pray this in His name. Amen. During the middle of the 19th century, a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll happened to be the son of a preacher. His father, Reverend Ingersoll, was also affiliated with a man by the name of Charles Finney. And if you know anything about church history, Charles Finney was quite a controversial person himself. He was a preacher, but he didn't like Reformed faith. He didn't like Calvinism. He didn't like Presbyterians very much. And reading a little bit of history about Robert Ingersoll, I found out that even Wikipedia called his father a liberal theologian. And if Wikipedia calls someone liberal, you know they had to be liberal. But his son, Robert Ingersoll, was a famous agnostic, even an atheist. He was a lawyer. He was well known as an orator. He was a speaker. And once in front of a large crowd, Robert Ingersoll pulled out his pocket watch and said, "I give God 5 minutes to strike me dead. If he doesn't, then that just proves he doesn't exist." Here's a man standing in public proclaiming that, "I'm going to prove God doesn't exist. I'm going to give him 5 minutes to show himself and strike me dead." After all, doesn't the Bible tell us that God strikes blasphemers dead? And he stood in front of this crowd with his watch in his hands and counted down the minutes. two, three, four, five, and when nothing happened, he snapped his watch shut. There, you see, there is no God, or I would be dead. Joseph Parker, a British preacher, heard about this episode, and he said, "Did this American gentleman think that he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? God is, Bible calls it, long-suffering. God put up with a lot from us. And we'd better be glad he does, because everyone would be dead." Robert Ingersoll also happened to be a friend of a man by the name of Philip Brooks. And you may never have never heard of Philip Brooks, but I know you've sung his song, his hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." He was the author, a very devoted Christian man. Philip Brooks got sick one time, very sick, very near death, and said, I cannot bear to visit with any friends, no visitors. But when Mr. Ingersoll came and asked permission to see him, Brooks was very glad to let him in. And Ingersoll was grateful. "I appreciate this very much, especially when you're not letting any of your close friends to see you." And Brooks said, Oh, I'm confident of seeing them in the next world, but this may be my last chance to see you." Robert Ingersoll died at the age of 65 in 1899. Obituaries of his death were printed in all the major newspapers of New England, and in every one as part of the obituary notice, there was a single, cold, ironic line: "There will be no music at his service." This is what happens to a man who dies in darkness. This is what happens to someone who dies in refusing to see the light of Christ and the light of his word. No reason to celebrate, every reason to mourn. Christ is the only way, and you and I need to remember that. You and I need to be reaffirmed that we need to have conviction about it. Christ is the only way. The Bible is his only word. That's what Christ preaches. That's what Christ. And we need to revisit that. Not some weird liberal interpretation of it, but what Christ taught and what Christ preached. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19 tells us, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God to see or see his great fire any more, lest I die.'" And through Moses, the Lord continues to say, "The Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.'" These words in Deuteronomy are what Christ was fulfilling when he said in verse 50 of our text in John, "I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Christ is the prophet promised to the people of Israel under the leadership of Moses, "This is the one I am sending you." And Christ was being faithful to the word of God, faithful to his mission. And anyone who refuses to receive him is doomed. We need to be very careful about our what we preach and what we teach. We need to be very faithful to what the Bible tells us and what the Bible teaches us. Returning to our text in verse 44, Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in one who sent me. He looks at me, he sees the one who sent me." Christ was saying, you want to believe in God? Believe in me. You want to see God? Look at me. That's kind of a bold statement, but he was preaching the truth. And what we need to see in this text, a man who believes. In the original language, present active tense, the man who actively believes. It's not someone, well, I believed when I was a child. That doesn't always fix it. We need to see that. When he looks at me, present active tense, actively seeing. Our exercise of faith as believers needs to be an ongoing exercise of faith, an exercise of discipline, an exercise of study, an exercise of prayer. It's something we need to be nurturing and nourishing as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something we engage in. It's not something that's always done to us. We have been saved completely by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His gracious gift of mercy, by His quickening power of the Holy Spirit. But once we have that, we have a responsibility to make sure that gets all the spiritual nourishment it needs to grow. We can't be filling our minds with all kinds of distractions in this world and participating in all kinds of temptations. God has called us from that. I remember teaching our children when they were very young, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because the Father up above is looking down in love. We forget those things when we're grown-ups. Because when we're grown-ups, we think, well, we can make decisions for ourselves. That's just what Adam and Eve did. They decided they could make decisions for themselves and got themselves in trouble. We need to be, as children, relying on our God faithfully to make sure that we pray, read, attend, fellowship, encourage one another, and then pray and read some more. It's ongoing. He who believes and he who looks. Scripture teaches we have eternal security. I believe that. Once saved, always saved. But there must be evidence of faith in the believer. You've got to be able to see it. If someone says they were saved as a young person, young man, child, but their life is not evident of that, there's something wrong. We are forbidden to say they are doomed to hell, but there is something wrong, and they should be in fear of their eternal soul. Mark chapter 4, as well as Matthew 13, tells us of the parable of the sower. Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of the things that come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Let me pause and ask, what kind of soil has a seed been sown in your heart? What kind of condition has your heart been when you received the Word of God? Has it been cold? Has it been hard? Has there been very little nourishment there? Or has your heart been broken by the price Christ offered for your redemption? Do you realize your sin, and are you growing and producing spiritual fruit in your life? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What kind of fruit is evident in your life? Believe, present active tense, actively believing. Looks, present active tense, actively seeing. Do we see Christ in His Word when we study it? Are we looking for Him when we pray? Scripture teaches eternal security, but there must be evidence of that in a believer, because Christ is the only way and the Bible is the only Word. Jesus said in verse 46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Imagine with me for a moment a blind man who also happens to be deaf, trying to cross a busy street. With training, we know that today blind people with their cane can get around pretty well, but they rely on the other senses about them in order to navigate around them. What about a man who cannot see or cannot hear? It would be frightening to watch this man walk across the street. What about a child trying to cross the street on their own, not really aware of the danger? I remember my firstborn, my eldest daughter. When she was just a toddler, we lived in a home, it was out in the country, we lived in a home that was across the street from a kind of a country store. And it was a very busy road right out front, and I don't remember, we needed butter or bread or something, and I went out just across the street to get some and come back for supper. And when I left the door, I thought the door closed, but it didn't close and latch all the way, and it just kind of popped back open. And when I got back, my wife was yelling at me. I didn't know what I had done. But my daughter had followed me out the door. She was able to open it because it wasn't latched. And she had gotten out to the street and almost ready to put one foot out on that road, traffic going both ways. My neighbor saw her come out the door and he said, uh-oh. She came right straight. He came running out and stopped her, thankfully. And I went and thanked him profusely. And he said, you know what she said to me whenever I picked her up? I'm going to store. Unaware of the danger. There are people in this world who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf who are unaware of the danger their eternal soul is in because they will not receive Christ. They will not see His Word. God doesn't exist, or they think God doesn't care. Those who do not see the light or hear the Word are all in a worse predicament. There are many who do not believe. In verse 47, our text, that's what Christ says, as for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world but to save it. When Christ came to minister to the needs of the lost and dying on the cross, he did not come to judge anyone. He did not need to judge anyone. Judgment had already been pronounced. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 18. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, I will judge him for it. You are held accountable to God's word, whether you believe in it or not. You are held accountable to that one absolute truth, whether you acknowledge it as absolute or not. The word of the Lord is to be believed. Reject it and face judgment. That's why in John 3 the Lord said, I do not come to judge the world, because the world has judged already. The world has condemned already. He even used the word, the world is condemned already. He came to offer salvation. He came to offer grace and mercy. Verse 48 of our text. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I do not speak of my own account, but the Father who sent me commanded me what I have to say. The word of God condemns all who are lost. Reject it, refuse that spiritual light, and you are doomed. Christ is the only way. Repentance and acceptance of His grace and His mercy is the only escape. Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky frequently has a problem. The pastor there said that every once in a while we get a bird inside the sanctuary. And the bird doesn't really want to be in there, but he's trapped. And we honestly don't want the bird to be in there either, because they're quite messy and they do distract the worship time. And sometimes birds can be hard to get out of buildings like that. They will make nests. I don't know if you've ever been to Lowe's or Walmart. If you look up, they're flying around in those high ceilings. And they'll nest up there. But do you know how this church gets these birds out of their facility? They'll wait until dusk or nighttime. They'll turn all the lights out, and then they'll put a light outside the door. And the bird will fly toward the light. That's what they see. It guides them away. It guides them home. It gives them a way of escape. The light of the Word of Christ is our way of escape from judgment. The light of Christ is the light we need to be seeking. We need to be learning of. We need to be finding. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We were once trapped in darkness of sin, but Jesus came as a mighty God to illuminate the way of salvation. If you don't come to Him, God loves you so much that He may allow the darkness around you to increase, so that the light looks brighter. Sometimes He will drive you that way. He will make everything look so much worse, so depressing, that you have to see His light in order to come to it for escape, for salvation, for mercy, and for redemption. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the truth that is Your Word. We thank You for the power of the Spirit within Your Word. And we pray that that power might break through a cold, hard, unbelieving heart. That it might encourage the discouraged heart. That it might nurture and heal the broken heart. Help us understand that Your way is the only way. We pray all of this in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. one more